This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. And today in your health, performing improv as a way to help cope with Alzheimer's disease. It may be hard to imagine the stress of knowing that you're losing your memory and being aware of that over time. You will no longer be able to care for yourself. In Chicago, a city known for improvisational theater, researchers are testing whether unscripted theater games can benefit newly diagnosed Alzheimer's patients. Reporter Julianne Hill has the story.
At 10:30 on Monday morning, about a dozen people file into an improvisational theater class.
Well, here they come.
Among them, a pretty blonde in her 50s, a woman who's a retired biologist and wears big glasses, and a retired professor.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Happy Monday morning.
The course is held in a conference room at Northwestern Memorial Hospital.
It is Monday.
And it looks like any continuing education class.
Shall we do a little yes and or pass the clap? What do we feel like today?
Let's do yes you.
Let's do yes you. Okay.
But these players are different.
Yes, you. Yes, you.
Yes, you.
You.
Everyone in this ensemble has dementia. Mary O'Hara is a social worker at Northwestern's Cognitive Neurology and Alzheimer's Disease Center.
Improv is all about being in the moment, which for someone with memory loss is a really safe place. Maybe thinking about the past and trying to remember makes a person a little bit anxious or even a bit sad because their memory is failing. And maybe thinking about the future too much is also anxiety-provoking. So being in the moment is such a safe and a good place to be.
Northwestern's researchers are working with the Tony Award-winning Looking Glass Theater Company. There are theater programs using improv for Alzheimer's patients in the later stages of the disease, but this collaboration is unique because it's for early-stage patients.
There's no experience required. There's no script. There's no memorization. They bring to it just their creative potential, and they are so successful at this.
Okay, so we're going to take an object, and we're going to transform it into three things that it's not.
Christine Mary Dunford with the Looking Glass leads this group of novice performers in very simple improv games.
Some of the basic tenets of improv that are perfect for working with people with dementia are the concept of yes. So fundamental to all our work is the idea that whatever answer somebody comes up with, the rest of us are going to be able to work with it.
This is a red 5-pound mackerel.
Yes, it is!
My favorite moments are when they're delighting each other and they have a lot of fun. You know what I think my favorite exercise of all time is? Yes, it is. Because they take an object and they transform it, and they always surprise themselves and everybody else. And it's always magical and it's always exciting.
Researchers don't expect these games to stop or slow the Alzheimer's disease process. But they are investigating, does engaging the creative abilities of these early-stage patients improve their lives? Before and after the 8-week program, participants and their families are asked a series of questions, checking to see how the course might change their answers. Darby Morehart is a research associate professor at Northwestern.
Well, we're asking people to tell us how they're feeling about their physical health, their mood. How do they feel about their memory? How do they feel about their family, about their relationships? And also, how do they feel about their current situation as a whole, and their life as a whole?
In the class, Dunford tells the players to stand in a circle for a listening game called Chord.
We're going to close our eyes, and we're just going to hum on the same sound. After a while, when it starts feeling really good, anybody who wants to can change the pitch or add a different kind of sound.
After about 2 minutes, the core morphs into nature sounds.
Okay, let's go to a close. Oh my gosh! Okay. So, let's talk about what was that like?
Fun.
It was fun. Okay, so what happened that was fun?
Spontaneity.
Spontaneity.
That's right.
Animal acceptance. Sounds I never thought I had.
We're never trying to be funny. I don't think we've ever even mentioned that word, comedy. we're just an improvisation group. We're the memory ensemble. We're an ensemble of people working together. So it ends up being funny quite often, but often, just as often, it ends up being touching or moving or provoking.
What should we name this out? The song we just made?
Chubby Chaos.
Chubby Chaos.
When we think of people with Alzheimer's and other dementia, we think about people who are losing skills on a daily basis. But here, they're learning some new things, too.
It gives them a feeling of self-confidence that they were able to accomplish this. And in this disease, there's not a lot of opportunity to feel a sense of accomplishment.
The group plays sculptor, molding one another into an emotion.
One of you is the sculptor, and one of you is the clay.
The players, like Wolfgang, each bring a lifetime of experience into the room.
I was a professor of Hebrew studies, Old Testament, in this university here. I mean, up in the northern suburb, what is it? See, I have Alzheimer's, and that's why I don't remember these things. But, you know, it's one of the big universities here in this area.
Caregivers are not invited to participate.
This is really an opportunity for the persons with the illness to be together. There's not a lot of options for them in the community to get to know one another and be within and to have their own program. And it also gives caregivers a much-needed break as well.
Wolfgang's wife, Mary Beth, waits for him outside the classroom.
It's an opportunity for us to enjoy something, to get out for the day and do something partly together and partly separately. My hopes for my husband is that he maintains this very sweet disposition. Some people with Alzheimer's don't, but I think that he's definitely going in that direction, and there's still so much of him, and we still have a deep relationship. The hardest thing for me is that it can't really grow.
Now let's put your body like this one and see what that's how somebody else feels hope. Feel that?
It's too early in the study to know whether this course is affecting the quality of life of these patients. But for his part, Wolfgang feels things have changed for himself and his fellow players.
I think we all have become more thoughtful in terms of the world in which we live. And it will then indirectly show itself in our interaction within our family. I have grandchildren, you know, I have a wife, etc., etc., and also in the wider world.
The session closes with some questions.
I'm wondering how I should describe to a friend what we are celebrating.
What we're celebrating or what we're doing?
Both. You know, a lot of times in our situation, you know, we're sitting around talking about our problems and our difficulties. And here we are not talking about our problems and our difficulties. We are having fun and enjoying ourselves.
True, true.
We're normal.
Normal, that's right.
For NPR News, I'm Julianne Hill.